So for the last couple of weeks, I've focused on the topic of pleasing God and the joy of being able to please Him. And today, I'd like to add one more. But first of all, let's quickly review the first few that we talked about, where that there is joy that we can receive by pleasing God when we tell others about the gospel and we bring other people this good news of the kingdom and the good news of salvation. We please God and we can get joy from it when we fellowship and when we share and when we serve each other. We can get joy and we please God when we read and study His word. And of course, when we pray. God loves to hear us, that we speak with Him, that we talk to Him, that we are able to come to Him whenever we want, as in our prayer by John today, that we should be doing it continually. But it pleases God, and it should give us joy that we can pray to Him. And last week we talked about repentance, because God loves us. And when we repent, it pleases Him. And when we repent, the burden of guilt is lifted and it gives us joy. But there is one very important piece that we must know, that it is actually impossible to please God, no matter what we do, without faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it starts off and it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." It's impossible to please God without faith. We can't please God because we make greater efforts in many other things, in serving people into our community. It's impossible to please God by just donating to a charity. The only way that we can please God is through faith. And that faith brings us a couple of very key things. That faith is also a source of righteousness. That faith makes us right with God. Righteousness is just a big fancy term, but it means that our relationship with Him is set right. In Romans 3, chapter 3, 21 to 22. "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ to all who believe." It's a gift, but we must have faith. We have faith in Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. In other words, it's available to everyone. It's available to everyone. The other scripture we all know about faith is that "for it is by grace." Ephesians 2, verse 8. It's grace, this tremendous gift that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift. It is the gift of God. But faith is not just a one-time event. Faith is something that we didn't just get upon repentance. Faith is something that we live every day. Faith is to be part of our daily life. We live a life of faith. That is what we do. And when we do it, we please God. And when we live a life of faith, it should bring us joy that we live this life. That we live this life that includes prayer and telling people others about the gospel. And that we love to study God's word. and that we fellowship and we share. This is a life. It's a life of faith. It's a life of belief. It's a life of pleasing to God. And as we have read in Hebrews at the beginning, there are two key things about this faith that we must have. The first part is that God exists. Now that seems strange that we would think that, is our faith that strong? Do we really believe that God exists? And of course, we wouldn't all be sitting here today if we didn't. But there is more to it than just that. You know, today the world around us has become a world, we label them as atheists, and there are some who are atheists who just don't believe that there is a God. Okay. But there is a world around us of people who are basically faithless. They are unbelievers. They prefer to pursue their own interests. They deny God, or they misuse and abuse his name. They try to prove that the world we live in is a world that has evolved and that we are much further along in the evolution process than many thousands of years ago, and we are smarter and brighter and all these other things. They believe that man's way is best, that war is an answer to bringing peace. They have their own philosophies that they present as truths. The problems can be solved by money or medicine or psychology or changing a relationship that you're in. That the Bible is just a nice collection of old literature and tales that can be used from time to time to be quoted, but not often believed. It's interesting that in Scripture, James made it very clear. He said to those who said, well, we believe in God. And I'm sorry, I missed a scripture here. In James chapter 2, verse 19, he writes, you believe there is one God? Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. There is a level of faith that says, yes, we can believe in God. We believe in God deeply. We believe in God because of what he has done and what he is doing. But there are multiple levels of this faith. There are multiple levels of this proof that God exists. Because if we went back to that beginning of Scripture of Hebrews 11:6, where it says, without faith, it's impossible to believe him, but because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Do we believe that God exists? I've met many, many people, and I've said, do you believe in God? Or do you believe in a superior power? And they will say, yes. But then let's get to the next level. Do you believe in the God of the Old Testament? Do you believe that the Creator, and we've just listened to some praise songs and we've mentioned it in our catechism today. Do you believe that he is the great Creator? Do you believe that by his word, creation was brought into existence? Do you believe that as great Creator, he formed us? As David said in Psalm 139, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Do you have the faith at that level that everything that has been done, everything that is created, that is around us, that we ourselves, that we have emotions, that we have a mind, that we have a soul, that we have a complex physical body that was all created? Do you have that faith in that God? Do we have the faith of the God of the Old Testament who created the vast universe, the depths of the oceans, from the tiniest little organism to the beauty of the birds and the animals, of fish and trees and flowers and the food that we eat every day? Do you have the belief of the existence of the God who saved his people from the Egyptians and brought them through the Red Sea and allowed them to wander for 40 years in the desert? Do you believe in the existence of the God of the Old Testament who won battles, made the walls of Jericho fall down? With just a few people, he was able to defeat large armies who seemed to be so much more powerful. Do you believe in the God? Do you have the faith of the God who gave us the laws to live by, the prophecies and warnings to be heeded, that people would be blessed? As it says, Moses said in Deuteronomy, he said, "Hear, O Israel," just like we are saying now, "hear to the world, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." There is one God, the God of the Old Testament. Do you believe that? Or do you just believe in a God? Do you believe in everything that is said and done, that was done and performed and recorded in the existence of God of the Old Testament? But then there's the next level. The next level of belief is in the existence of the God of the New Testament, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Son. He is revealed, he is brought to life, not as a greater God, but as a revealer of God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He was revealed to us when he came to this earth. Do you believe in that God, the God that exists and that is written about in the New Testament, who he is, what he is like, and what he does and has done and why he's done it? I'd like to take us to Colossians chapter 1. In fact, we read some of this earlier. This is the God that we should have the faith in believing. The Son is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just in these verses, just in these short verses, we see who this God is. This is the faith that we should have in this God. The faith that he is the creator of everything. That was part of our catechism today. Every star, every galaxy, every color, every smell, every aroma, everything that walks, everything that crawls, everything that grows, everything that blossoms comes from our great Creator. And he spoke it by his word, and yet he still came to this earth in human form. He is our Creator. In verse 17, it says, he holds everything together. He is our sustainer. He provides for us. He holds it together. The universe is so precisely put together that just on one word, the whole thing would fall apart. One word from the Creator and the universe would be gone. The intricacy and the preciseness of how the earth is formed around the sun, and the speed that it spins at, and the cycles that it goes through are very precise. One little change and it would all fall apart. But no, we have a God who is a sustainer. He keeps it and protects it and sustains it. What else about this God that we can see in these verses? We see why he exists and our purpose in life. It says at the end of verse 16, all things have been created through him and for him. That's our purpose. We have been created for a God that we have that exists. We have been created for a God for a purpose. Our lives have a purpose. I'd like to keep on going. He is not only a creator and a sustainer and given us purpose in life. In verses 19 and 20, or 18 to 20, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So if we really believe in God, in the existence of God, and that we have that faith that is so important to please him, when we read these verses, as we come to the end of verse 20, we realize that he is a God who is a lover of souls, that he loves us. He gave his son, and his son died on the cross, and he shed his blood for us. The God, our Father, is a lover of souls. So if we truly believe in the existence of a God, it's more than just, yes, I believe in God. It's the God of the Old Testament. It's the God of the New Testament. It is the God who is a creator, sustainer, who has a purpose for his life and our life, that he is a lover of souls. So going back to Hebrews 11, do you have the faith that he exists in all these forms? In the second part of Hebrews chapter 11 about faith, he says, not only should your faith believe in that he exists, but that he rewards, he blesses those who earnestly seek him. How are we rewarded and blessed? The whole chapter of Hebrews 11 goes on and describes the faith and the blessing that Abraham and Enoch and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Rahab, they all had. There were blessings that they received. But we have blessings that they had yet to receive that we have now today. What is the first one? The first blessing that we have is that we are justified by faith. That we are justified. We have eternal life. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we were justified, and we have been justified apart from the works of the law. It is by faith that we were justified. In Galatians 2, verse 16, know that a person is not justified by works of the law. You can't work out your salvation, but by faith in Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one is justified. So we are justified by faith, and we are justified through faith. You know, that faith that we have helps us to turn away from sin. It gives us the desire to obey. In Acts 26, 17 to 18, it says, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending them to you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." The sanctification process, the process that we go through to prepare us, is done in faith. Faith in Christ. Our faith grows by listening to Christ's word. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. This is a blessing. This is a reward, as it says in Hebrews 11. Interestingly enough, we are also called to And we talked about it last week, to repent, but to repent and believe. In Mark chapter 1, 13 to 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And what did he say? The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. Repent and have faith in the good news. It's interesting. I read it's something to keep in mind. Repentance requires faith, but faith requires repentance. It goes both ways. Repentance requires faith. Faith requires repentance. Saving faith is always repentant faith. Faith that turns us to Jesus Christ. Faith is a blessing in many so different ways, thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of the New Testament, that we believe he exists and that we believe that he rewards, that he gives us these blessings. It's a blessing that Christ takes on our burdens. It's a blessing that he will never forsake us. It is a blessing that he forgives us. It is a blessing that through faith, it is the mechanism in which we can pray to our God, our Creator, and he will answer. It is a blessing that with faith, faith can bring peace and calm and comfort in our lives when we're confronted with trials and tragedy. That we can call on God the Father and say, Abba, Father, and we can cry out. It's a blessing and a reward to know that about the kingdom and that we are part of it and we have a future. We can walk with God. We can live a life of faith because we know that he exists at all those levels, that he is not just the creator, that he is just not a God, but he is a God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. And that he rewards those who seek him. It is by faith that we can please God, and there is joy in doing so. Over the past weeks, we have discovered that there are at least 6 ways in which we can be joyful and please the Lord. We can tell others about the gospel. We can fellowship and serve. We can read and study God's word. We can pray. We can repent, but we must have faith, for it is impossible to please God without faith. In just a few days, we will be remembering what Christ has done for us and why he did it, that we might have eternal life and that we can be him forever, with him forever. But without Christ, without faith, we would be in the dark. We would have no hope, no understanding, no purpose, no love. But we have been given life. So let us live a life of faith that pleases the Lord day by day. I'll finish with one scripture. Scripture from Paul when he spoke to the Ephesians or wrote to the Ephesians. Said, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Live as children with faith in the knowledge that we've been given. For the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then he finishes and he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. I'd just like to close, not close, but I'll end the message with prayer. Father in heaven, we just come before you. We so underestimate how powerful you are. We so underestimate how much love you have for us. We just thank you and praise you and ask that you strengthen our faith in so many ways, that we understand that who you are, What you have done as God of the Old Testament and the many miracles and signs, the many ways of building your people and teaching your people and loving your people. And we thank you so much for giving us the understanding and the faith in Jesus Christ, the God of the New Testament, the same God, the all one God. We just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Strengthen our faith and help us to please you in every way as we walk in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. One more song of praise. I'm hoping this will.
Did you know that playing a musical instrument is no. not what you're really aiming to do?
We'll skip the ad.
And there is none like you.